Well, good morning. Hey, it's so good to be in the house with you this morning. And man, what an amazing time of worship already. Isn't that been incredible this morning? Anybody with me in the house? Yeah, we're going to get there. I promise you, we're going to get there. An amazing morning and just been an amazing weekend of ministry happening on this campus. And I'm excited for these last few weeks we have together in 1 Timothy. It's been quite a journey, but I've really believing in what these messages have been about as we have been growing as a church. I think it's been so fitting that we've been able to go through a book like 1 Timothy to talk about what a healthy church looks like and what healthy growth should look like. So let's just remind ourselves of some of these truths, even as we transition out of 1 Timothy coming up here. And several weeks from now, let's just remember some of the things that we've been talking about. Today, it's all about our battle. Now, there's no doubt about it. There is a lot of violence taking place in the nation and across the world. I'm sure you've been paying attention to the news like I have. Evil happening with Israel, Iran. There's all the conflict happening over there, and inevitably leads to some people asking, like, I know Israel's a special place in Scripture. Does that mean God's about to come back or Christ's about to come back? And it's like, I don't know. He could come back right now, not to scare you, but he could, and that would probably be pretty amazing. That would be amazing for all of us who are in Christ right now, but here's the deal. There's so much conflict and so much anger, and we have an election coming up, and that's probably going to lead to more conflict and more anger. First Baptist Church of Mary Esther, that's the property that we're on right now, their LED sign out there has a "We Stand With Israel" deal. I'm sure you've seen it like we have, and you wouldn't believe how angry this has made people over the course of the last several months. We received a very kind, angry email just this past week from someone like, how dare you? Why do you have that up there? This is the world we live in. It's angry, it's violent, and what we have to be careful of is not letting it distract us from the real spiritual war that every single one of us are in. Like, you are under attack, not from like physical attacks, although it can manifest in that way. You are under attack from the enemy. Like, he is attacking you, your marriage, your kids, your faith, your church. It's real, people. There's a lot happening in our house right now. We've got in our church house, we have a huge transition coming up June 2nd. It's going to be amazing. And I was talking to my father about it, and he said, son, I'm going to give you a couple bits of advice. And one of them was, you need to be prepared for the spiritual warfare that's going to come, and we've already seen it. There's a real enemy out there, and he wants to destroy your life. So don't get distracted by all the violence. Pray for peace, but recognize there's no true peace coming on this side of heaven. There's not going to be any real peace across this nation until Christ returns, across the world until Christ returns. So don't believe those lies that it could happen. September 11, 2001 was obviously a huge moment in our nation's history. President George W. Bush woke up to a very normal day. He was down here in Florida, riding his bike, doing his thing. You know, whether you love him or hate him, you know, you just got to love his style. He's a country guy, you know. And everything was normal. And then next thing he knows, he is leading the country through major attacks happening here in this nation. And if you listen to some of his interviews, read his book, how he kind of words it is, after that third plane hit the Pentagon, he realized that our nation was under attack. And he said in that very moment, he knew that he just became a wartime president. Everything changed for him. Did you know that you are a wartime Christian? Whether you like it or not, if you are a Christian in the house, if you're a believer, you are a wartime Christian. You are under attack at all times. At any given moment, the enemy is trying to sneak into your house and ruin your life. And so we must be careful to not get distracted by everything and remember that we have a very real battle happening right now, and we are under attack. We are wartime Christians. But here's the good news, and here's what we're talking about today. We just sang, praise God, our healing's coming because of a coming king. Can we get an amen to that? Jesus is coming back. Can we say that together? Jesus is coming back. That's amazing news today. And our calling is to live in light of that. And that's our big idea for today. Live in light of a coming king, and then we're adding on, who reigns triumphant. You see, I think we forget that Jesus is not just coming to reign here on this planet. He's already reigning, people. He's already over it all. He's already staked his victory. He died and rose again from the grave, and he's reigning triumphant right now. And that is great hope, as we are all constantly under attack. We are going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 11 through 16 this morning. And I just want us to kind of wrap our minds around the text and this big idea that is theological and comes straight from the text. Let's start in verse 11. But you, man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all, and of Christ Jesus, who gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate, I charge you to keep this command without fault or failure until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will bring this about in his own time. He is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. God, we come before you this morning. We are grateful that our King is coming, which means full healing is coming. Maybe not on this side of heaven, but we know that there is full healing in our future because of a coming King and because Jesus has fought and won the battle. We thank you for that hope. Lord, as we have opened up and we've read your word this morning, would you speak so clearly through your word to us? And may we walk out of these doors living in light of a coming King who is reigning triumphant right now. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I want to look at a few things from this text this morning. Number one, I want you to see we need to flee evil and pursue good. How do we live in light of a coming King who reigns triumphant? Flee evil and pursue good. We see in verse 11, Paul starts out by saying, but you, man of God, but you, man of God. This conveys great passion happening. There's a transition that's taken place. Of course, we talked last week of the love of money is the root of all evil. There's false teachers that are pushing that the gospel is a means to a better way of life here on this planet, and it means better things for you. And so Paul has rejected all that, as he does time and time again. And he's kind of transitioning back to Timothy now as he's closing out this letter, and he's saying, but you. So he's like, all right, Timothy, there's all the false teachers over there. Now I'm talking to you, and now I'm talking to the church, but you. And he says, man of God. Why man of God? Here's what's pretty cool. If you look throughout the Old Testament, there were several men who were referred to as man of God, like Moses or Elijah or Elisha or David. These people were called men of God, man of God. Neat leads you to ask the question. Is he saying, all right, Timothy's some kind of new Moses that's here on our side now, that's with us? Is this a new manifestation? Is it a manifestation? No. That's not what Paul's doing. But what he is pointing out is God has long chosen specific people to lead and shepherd his church, and Timothy's one of them. It's a reminder to us that there are specific people who have been singled out by God to lead God's church. Pastors, men who have been called out by God to lead his church. So he's transitioning. He's saying, now, Timothy, you man of God. Now, here's the deal here. We know that Timothy has been called to lead a life for other people to follow. Paul said the same thing about his life, that he is leading a life for other people to mimic and follow. So everything that Paul's about to say to Timothy applies to every single one of us today too. Paul's just alluding, wanting to allude to the gravity of the position that Timothy holds. Now here's what he says. Flee from evil. He actually words it like this. Flee from these things. We're just going to simply say flee from evil. That means run away from evil or these things. Avoid the danger. Avoid it at all costs. In the Greek, this means to move quickly from where you are to another area. Get as far away from evil as possible. And the evils he's talking about is, of course, false teaching, love of money, desiring to be right. The gospel is a means to a better way of life, slander, arrogance. Paul's like, Timothy, brother, you need to flee from it. That's what living in light of a coming king looks like. And you may say, well, that doesn't sound like much of a fight. We just read, fight for the gospel. We often hear, we're in a fight, we're in a battle. That's what we just said, we're in a battle. I'm sure when you think about our country fighting for our freedoms, you don't think of our country running away and fleeing, you think of them stepping up and fighting. Sometimes, though, the best way to fight in this spiritual war that we are called to battle in is to flee. That's the wise thing. I know several real big guys, tall guys. Now, that's not saying much because I am a short guy. I know I'm 5'9", and I'm short, right? I know several big, tall guys. I mean, big guys. Let me tell you this. If these guys I know, and some of them go to this church, if for some reason I have made them upset, okay, and they're like, I'm going to fight you. I'm like, no, brother, you're not. I'm running, right? I'm fleeing. It would not be wise. I don't care. You know, I did the taekwondo thing when I was a kid. And you're like, oh, you can fight. No, I definitely cannot fight, especially not someone way bigger than me. The most wise thing I can do is to flee from it, is to run from it. And so Paul's swinging into Timothy saying, some of this stuff, Timothy, some of these battles that you're in, you need to flee. You need to run. Don't get all muddled up in it. You need to turn the other way and get as far away as you possibly can. Very interesting, because in 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul says the same sort of thing to Timothy, except he's talking about sexual immorality. Timothy, flee from youthful lust. And then he says to pursue several things. Flee from it. Run from it. That means get as far away. Timothy, you're right here. You need to completely remove yourself from where you are and get somewhere else. Don't be muddling up in that. And so that's what he's saying to the church. One of the ways that we live in light of a coming king is to get as far away from some of these evil things as we possibly can. Some battles are best fought by fleeing. But then thankfully, very often in Paul's writing, when he says flee one thing, he usually tags along, here's what you can pursue. Pursue good. Pursue things like righteousness. Pursue godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. These are qualities that mark the Christian life, and pursue these things with purpose. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 reminds us that this race that we are running, we are to run with purpose, with our eyes fixed on Jesus. That's a determination. This is running with purpose. Again, Timothy's called to lead a life for others to follow. So this is for me and you. We need to flee. Run with purpose, pursue good. Now, just to think about this for a second. When it comes to fleeing from evil, running away from evil, and pursuing good, we're not just talking about fleeing or running away from sinful actions, right? So if your struggle is sexual immorality, Paul's not just saying run away from the actual sinful action. He's saying flee from the desires, or here's another thing, flee from the thoughts. Take those thoughts captive. So don't just put this into action. This is legitimately doing everything you can to get away from evil in every area of your life, even your thought life, which is one of the biggest battles we face in this spiritual war that we are in. Get far away from those things and pursue good. So flee evil and pursue good. In verse 12, we see another take from this text. He says, Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Secondly, we see we are to fight for the faith and take hold of eternal life. How do we live life in light of a coming king who is reigning triumphant? Fight for the faith and take hold of eternal life. That first part, fight for the faith. What do we know about Paul? 2 Timothy 4:7, he says that he has actually already fought for the faith. He's already battled it out. He's done just that. He's fought the good fight. He's finished the race. He's kept the faith. He has fought for the faith. Now he's calling Timothy to do the exact same thing. He's calling the church to do the exact same thing. This is putting forth your best effort to further the faith and the gospel. This spiritual battle that we are in, our battle that we're talking about today, this is Satan wanting to suppress the gospel, suppress the truth in your household. Your reality, again, is you are a wartime Christian. You are in a war fighting for the truth of the gospel. So this fighting for the faith that you are called to requires discipline. It requires purpose. Remember that it is a continuous struggle. And fighting for the faith isn't just about vocalizing your beliefs in the gospel. It's not just about telling people about Jesus, and if someone's talking bad about Jesus, you stand up and be like, hey, you know, that's not right. I got news for you. The battle's a lot harder than that. This is putting forth your best effort the moment you wake up in the morning. The last place you want to be is in a public setting fighting for the faith when you haven't been fighting for the faith in a private setting. It's the last place you want to be. In a moment, we are having to stand firm on the gospel. Persecution's pressing in. The last place you want to be is that to be the first moment in your life that you've been fighting for the faith. It starts in your home, starts when you wake up in the morning, starts with how you're raising your kids. That's where the battle begins. Fighting for the faith is both public and private. He says something else, though, doesn't he? He says, take hold of eternal life. We know that eternal life was already something Timothy was grasping onto, but he hasn't yet fully held on to it. Referring back to that song we were just singing when we were saying, we know that full redemption is coming. You've often heard when it comes to this type of theological discussion that we live in the already, but not yet. We know that there is eternal life coming, that full redemption is coming, that we will receive a new body one day. But guess what? All that hasn't happened yet. We know that the battle's already been fought and won, but we know that we have that kind of out in the distance as our hope that we look forward to. So how do we take hold of eternal life? We take hold of eternal life when we order our lives in harmony with God and with his spirit. This is a call to live radically in light of the age to come. And it's not just about you. It's about others as well. It's so that the other people in your life who do not know Jesus can escape a very real hell that they will face if they do not have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. It's so that the people in your life who don't know Jesus will escape a very real everlasting torment. So you want to see others receive eternal life as well. This fight isn't just about you. It's not really about you at all. It's about the expansion of God's kingdom. Notice Timothy is reminded of something in verse 12. So Paul says, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He's calling to mind Timothy's salvation experience that people knew about. In case you haven't figured it out, Timothy, Paul, all these other great men and women of God that we read about, especially in the New Testament, their faith was very public. People knew about it. If your faith is hidden, I think Paul would say today, something is off. If you haven't made a public confession of faith, something's a little off in your faith. If you're not bold with the gospel, something is off, because we are called to follow after Jesus, ultimately. Notice how bold Jesus was. We read, this is the example that Paul gives Timothy. So back up to verse 12. You have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Then he says, in the presence of God, who gives life to all, praise God, and of Christ Jesus, who gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate. And then he adds on, I charge you. We know that after Jesus was betrayed, we know that after Jesus was arrested and mocked and beaten, he was put on trial. He was taken before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, at the time. And Pilate asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus was not feeling too good at that moment. Again, the beatings had already started. The suffering had already started. The torment on this side had already started for him. And Jesus' response, so boldly he said this, it is as you say. Imagine that moment. And this was out of obedience to God and his great love for you. He knew what was coming after this. Pilate's like, are you the king of the Jews? Is it true, Jesus? Are you really making these claims? After all the beatings, Jesus responds, it is as you say. A bold, bold way to the cross. See, Christ paved the way for what Timothy and all believers must do. Our time is now to be public with who we believe Jesus is. Whatever the consequences, whatever may come into this life, our time is now to be bold. Here's the question, though. Do you have a story? We've done a series called Gospel Conversations, and we opened that series up talking about, I think the title of the message was My Story. How you came to know Christ, because you are not going to share the gospel very boldly if you have not really had a true life experience where Christ became Lord and Savior of your life. Do you have a story? Have you made a good confession of the faith? Because you're not likely to be bold with the gospel if you have not. And only you can answer that question. If we go on verses 13 to 16, so we see again, in the presence of God who gives life to all, and of Christ Jesus who gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate, I charge you to keep this command without fault or failure until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will bring this about in his own time. He is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. So our call to be bold, to fight for the faith, to take hold of eternal life, the calling is to be consistent in our pursuit of Christ. Paul says without fault or failure. Let me tell you, that's only possible through faith in Jesus. He's definitely not saying that you're not going to trip up and make mistakes. Lord knows we do that every single week. But the idea is there is a consistency of you pursuing Christ day in and day out. The full spectrum of the Christian life lived under the reign of Christ, that is what you are living out, and you're doing it consistently, a consistent pursuit of Jesus. thirdly, from this we see to trust God's timing and know he is over all things. We have talked about the return of Jesus several times. We did a series on it back in August from the Olivet Discourse. We know Jesus is coming, but you know what else we know? It's in God's hands. God will bring about the return of Jesus in his own time. Jesus told the disciples several times not to worry about the precise time. He reminded the disciples, you're not going to know. Live with the awareness that Jesus will come back, but don't get distracted by it. Now, that may have been hard for Timothy to comprehend, because just like many of you today, I can assure you that Timothy became a little weary, became a little discouraged, times where he was just ready for Christ to return. And here's what Paul's saying to Timothy, and here's what God's saying to you and to me today. Trust God's timing. Trust that God has universal authority over all things, that his power is over all things, that he is in control, that he is, as we just read in 1 Timothy 6:13, the giver of life. Trust God's timing and know he is over all things. Live in light of a coming king who reigns triumphant. I want to close out with a few things, a few points of application. Number one, I want us to do this today, this week. Choose to believe God knows what's best for you. You want to live in light of a coming king who reigns triumphant? You have to believe that God knows what's best for you. Think about several of the reasons why we choose to sin. Let's take money. That's one that we all like talking about. Talked about it last week. Well, let's talk about it this week. Why may you choose to not be generous in your giving, gracious and sacrificial in your giving? If that's you, if that's what you choose, the route you choose in life, it's possible you choose that life because you do not believe God when he says a fruitful life, a life walking with Christ, is a life where you are gracious and sacrificial in your giving. You are essentially telling God, I don't know if I believe that. I'm going to take that one and set it aside. Or think about if you are stuck in sexual immorality and you continue to pursue sexual immorality time and time again, you know that God says purity is good for you. And essentially you're telling God, I think I know better than you in these moments of temptation. I'm going to pursue the quick satisfaction and I'll deal with the consequences later. Essentially, you're telling God, I don't really believe you. See, when you don't believe God knows what's best for you, you are not likely to flee evil and pursue good. Choose to believe God knows what's best. Another thing, when it comes to our fighting for the faith, fight with Scripture. Fight with Scripture. Fleeing evil, fighting for the faith, taking hold of eternal life, this is hard. And let me tell you, the Word of God is your greatest weapon. There are several scriptures that I keep tucked away in my mind. There are days, even this week, where I quote a single verse 25, 30, 40 times in a day. And it's not because I'm just some pastor and that's what we do. We remember Scripture and all we're doing is worshiping and listening to preaching. And I live a normal life. You know, pickleball, hello, golf, normal. But I live a normal life, but just like you, man, I'm in a battle. And there are things I know about me that God has revealed to me about me. And my best weapon to fight and to flee from evil is just quote Scripture over and over and over and over again. And let me tell you, it works. There is power when you fight with Scripture. Now, some of you are going to say, well, I struggle to remember things. That's probably the most common thing I've heard. Like, I don't remember things really well. Yet, I'm sure you're able to sit in this room. And if I've offended anyone, I'm not trying to offend anyone. But I'm sure you've sat in this room and there's some songs that you remember. You know, I don't make Scripture a song. I don't care. That's what David did in the Psalms. Fight with Scripture. It's powerful. Lastly, We'll end with this. Know that God's timing is best. Know that God's timing is best. There is a reason why Christ has not returned yet. That's theologically true. You know what else is theologically true? There is a reason why you are still on this planet. Both of those things are true. I don't care if you walked in here and thought, I have no idea why I'm here. There's a reason why you're here. And what I know to be true is there's a reason why Christ has not returned yet, and there's a reason why you are here. And there are some of you who are living in this world, and you're thinking, my situation is so unique. Nobody's like me. It's terrible. I can't relate with anyone. I don't know what to do. Everybody else around me has it all together, and everything's going wrong for me. If that's true, I want you to think about this for a moment. It's possible that God is calling you to use that very unique situation and leverage it for the gospel message of Jesus Christ. If you're really the only one, which I would probably tell you that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. That's where he wants you, in a state of loneliness, thinking nobody else will understand. But if that's really the case, I can promise you this. God wants to use that very unique situation in your life to make famous the name of Jesus and to expand his kingdom. God's timing is best. There's a reason we are here today. And it's always, always going to track back to the gospel. Always. That's why we say so all the time. Every week we're preaching. We're just preaching the gospel. We're preaching the gospel. So live in light of a coming king who reigns triumphant. And we get out a fourth point, truthfully. There are some people who didn't make it in the house today. They weren't able to make it here for whatever reason. Maybe they're sick, or maybe they're just so worn down. I want you, if you know those people, don't send them the message, hey, listen to the pastor. Don't do that. I want you to say, hey, I learned something today. There's a reason Christ hasn't returned yet, and there's a reason you are on this planet. Let's get some coffee and talk about it. I just want to encourage you. People need to hear this today. Because our world, man, is so messed up. And the spiritual battle we are in, man, it is real. I was reading an article earlier this week from the FBI about China, and they've apparently figured out some way where they've hacked in and a big infrastructure attack is happening. I was like, man, is this real? That's what we were texting with my buddies, like, oh, do y'all know if this is real? Nobody's reporting this. Are we about to not have water? I don't know. But what I do know is this, and this spiritual war is real. And we need to be prepared to fight every single day. And the gospel is the game changer for you and for me. That's how we will reign victorious, because Christ is reigning victorious. God, we are so grateful for this word. Lord, I just want to take a moment. I just want to take a moment to pray very specifically for the people in the room who came in here thinking that they're never going to get out of the pit, that nobody's ever going to understand. Lord, may they choose to believe there is a reason why. And maybe nobody else understands, but we know you do. Would you encourage them in this moment? And would you begin to reveal to them how they can use whatever they are going through for the sake of the gospel? It's always going to track back to the gospel. Lord, may Sunrise City Church, these people, may we choose to believe that you know what's best for us while we're in this fight. Lord, help us fight with scripture. Help us start our day first thing in the morning running to you. And help us trust that your timing is best, because we know that it is. There's a reason Christ hasn't returned yet. That's because there's more people that need saving. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.